There was one day I went downstairs in our university house, and the only two bits of that weren't dirty, I had to have a salad bowl, like a massive one of Cocoa Pops. So obviously pour it in so it looks like a bowl. So it was like, I had the whole packet. And the only thing, I had to have a gravy boat of tea because everything else, and like a bottle of olive oil had broken and there was like a film of oil all over the floor.
You're listening to the Fantasy FC podcast,
brought to you by Sky Sports.
Hello and welcome to episode 11, season one. Of the Fantasy Football Club podcast, otherwise known as Max and Merce's Premier League predictions, featuring me, Max, and Merce, Merce. Hello, Merce.
Hello, Max.
How are you, Merce?
Very good, thanks, mate.
Would you like to know what's on today's podcast?
Please, mate.
We're going to reflect on the Champions League games for midweek. We're going to touch on the Europa League games, even though the timings don't really work, because we do it on a Thursday and people listen on a Friday. And we'll look ahead to the Premier League weekend. That's the main part of things.
Right.
We'll do a Twitter Q&A. We'll get 1 to 11s from our studio guest, Tony Cascarino. And from the archives, we've gone for Jonas Gutierrez. Do you want some feedback?
If it's good.
OK. Well, we've had one review on iTunes since we last spoke. Well, some of the podcasts have, like, hundreds.
Oh, really?
We haven't got... We've only got about 16. Wow. So each time you get one, it's quite an exciting
one. Oh, right, guy.
This one was from Oscar Spywrites. And it's disappointingly positive, really. It just says, one of my favourite shows on TV. The podcast is just as entertaining.
Oh, good.
That's good.
Fair play. Nice one.
If you do write a review on iTunes, we'll read it out, positive or negative. in the charts, you know the charts, we were behind wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, we got to 13th place in all the sport ones.
Yeah.
In the main charts...
There ain't 13 sports in the world, is there?
There probably are 13 sports. Yeah, but there's loads of podcasts.
Oh, is there?
That's good. Yeah, we haven't gotten to the top 10 yet. That's the dream. In the main charts, we are a long way behind Today in Parliament.
Yeah, understandable with the budget earlier, so you're going to get a lot.
How do you think the budget was?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was all right. It's all right. About time with the fizzy drinks.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Sugar tax.
Yeah. All right. I don't know what my sweet bill's going to be, but anyway.
That is true. Will you cut down on fruit pastels?
If you let me have two dinners, and then I'll be all right, won't I? But I don't have two dinners, and then I have to eat sweets, sweets, sweets. Now I feel bad when I could have just had another dinner, which would have been healthy.
The dinner you got was big enough. That Irish stew was big enough for it wasn't one big person. Enough. That's enough food until dinner time.
Yeah, but if you work out like I work out...
How much do you work out?
It depends. It depends, really. But it wasn't. It's just like it's in a little container, a little container.
OK. I just think a good... Do you have a good breakfast?
No breakfast.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
No breakfast.
Will you start having a good breakfast for me?
No, not really. Go on.
OK. We're also behind a podcast that Gary Neville did in December. So, work to do.
Yeah.
Now, on the predictions, I'd won the two previous weeks, making me 2-0 up. That's when we started counting.
No, you started counting when you were 2-0.
But that's because Steve, the number two, said he wanted us to, and, you know, do what the boss says.
And then I won. I must have won this week.
Last week, we did the Europa, FA Cup and Prem.
Yeah.
You got one score exactly right, Man United, West Ham in the Cup. You got seven results right, i.e. win, lose or draw. Do you want to hear how I did?
Here you go.
I got naught exactly right and three right. So you win.
See, Steve?
You're back in it.
All right.
2-1. OK. Still, you're playing catch-up.
So that weren't a 2-1. That was a blowout.
You only get 1 point for winning a week.
Yeah, but you only started doing it when you went 2-0 up.
No, I had
so
no
really
idea.
So really, I'm 1-0 up, wasn't I?
I had no idea. Do you want to make it 1-1?
No, go on. Make it. How many weeks left? 9? 8? Make it 6-1 if you want.
No, it's OK. I'm happy to go with 2-1. Let's talk quickly about the Champions League. Arsenal-Barcelona. I thought Arsenal were actually unlucky.
Yeah, I thought they played well. I mean, you're sitting there watching the game thinking, how don't you win the league by 15 points? But 3 days before that, they're getting run around by Watford.
Can you put your finger on why?
No, I can't. It's not my job too. Hmm. Is it? It's Arsene Wenger's. He gets how much does he get? 100 grand a week?
Probably.
So what's he need me telling for?
But why does the team play that well? I was watching that game last night thinking, Arsenal are matching Barcelona for huge parts of that game.
Yeah.
And that's Barcelona's first team.
Yeah, over the two legs, if they'd have put their chances away, Arsenal, it could have been easily different. It could have. But, you know, as I say, the inconsistency, isn't it? 3 days before that, it's like, it's Watford at home, we'll beat these. You know, you go to Barcelona, it's like, wait there, if we don't concentrate here, this could get 6 and 7 nil. And they step their game up. So, you know, that's what Arsenal's got to try and sort out, is their consistency and stop going on the pitch like they're just going to roll teams over, because don't happen.
Is it a pressure thing? You know, against Watford, they're expected to win, and against Barcelona, they're not, and so that liberates you as a player?
No, I don't think so. They're not one of them. You know, they're not a lower league team, are they? They're not like underdogs. They're virtually favourites every football match they play in. So there's always pressure on them every week they play. So they should be able to cope with that. They're playing for Arsenal.
Did you prefer playing games you're expected to win, or the really tough games where, you know, it was going to be tight?
No, you want to play. They're the bonus, the ones you're expected to win, aren't they? But you've got to win them games. If you want to win the league, you've got to win them. I mean, Leicester never played well on Monday night and they still won, and that's enough.
But when you were playing, did you think, oh, it's an easy one today, that's nice?
No.
Never?
No, we weren't allowed. George wouldn't allow that.
All right. Man City? Against
yeah,
Kiev.
It was poor, wasn't it?
Nothing game, really.
Oh, no, poor. All poor. Right. They've lost their mojo at the moment, I think.
Well, they don't deserve to be talked about for that game. It's so poor. And the Bayern-Juve game.
What a game.
Unbelievable.
Oh, what a game.
Do you feel for Juve?
Yeah, I do. I mean, lad misses a great chance at the far post, doesn't he? Scores that. No coming back. But fair play to Bayern Munich. The ball at the end, 90th minute, and then the two goals in extra time, then two goals are worldies, absolute worldies.
They've got a chance. Bayern can win the whole thing, can't they? They didn't look like it
can
on the night.
Don't give Wassang two goals at start, Barcelona.
No. Barca for you.
I don't know. When I watched Arsenal, I mean, if you can get at them, you know. But them three up front, I mean, even, you know, not playing very well yesterday, still made enough chances, didn't they?
Europa League, which is tonight, because we do this on a Thursday, in case you're listening on a Friday. Any chance for Manchester United?
Yeah, of course. They're at home, 70-odd thousand people there. An early goal, you never know. I think they've got to be patient. I don't think they should just go out and think, right, we need to score ASAP. I mean, even if they score in the 75th minute, it's 15 minutes of drama. You know, that's the way you've got to look at it.
What's the score going to be?
Oh. I'll go 1-1.
I go 2-1 to Man United. Spurs, Dortmund, they got any chance? Not a chance.
Should let everybody in for nothing tonight.
You think?
Yeah, why not?
Play the kids?
Well, there's no point playing their team. I mean, they're out now. They ain't turning that around. You know, he played a weakened team away, so he might as well do it at home. Otherwise, the whole value of putting a weakened team out away has gone out the window.
Hard to predict, given the score and what team Spurs will put out.
But yeah.
I'm going to press you, Merce.
I'll go 2-1 Tottenham.
OK, I will go 1-1. Right, Premier League. Big weekend of fixtures. It starts the early kickoff, 12:45 on Saturday. Everton versus Arsenal.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-1. I mean, Everton were good against Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I mean, you watch that game against Chelsea, and they defended well, broke from a shape, counter-attacking football, kept the ball, defended well.
Had Lukaku, who
why don't
that
do that every week?
Unstoppable.
Why don't do that every week?
I don't know.
Why they 2-0 up with 12 minutes to go against West Ham and they can't hold on? You know, it's all right saying they got 10 men. It don't make any difference, because if you drop the centre-forward back, it's no different.
Do you think that Martinez, similar to Arsene Wenger in this game, they don't care about defence, or they just don't care as much? Or is that oversimplifying it completely?
No, I mean, it's hard to keep clean sheets and score goals at the other end. It's the hardest job in football. I mean, let's be honest, Barcelona find it quite difficult. They do let in goals, Barcelona. They do very, you know, they don't keep loads and loads of clean sheets. Mm-hmm. You know, so you've got to get that balance. And Arsenal and Everton don't get that balance of keeping clean sheets, scoring goals. They'll score goals, but they're letting goals at the other end.
Well, you played under George Graham and Wenger. Did, obviously, Arsene Wenger inherited that amazing back four. But did you see that he paid less attention to defence than George Graham?
I didn't see too much.
How long were you there?
6 months, but tactically compared to George Graham, no, not in the same league.
Really?
Not even.
That's interesting. So you're going 1-1, are you?
I'll go 1-1. I think, you know, Everton are a good team at home, mate. You know, I know they're like a bag of rebels, but if you get the orange chocolate one, you know what I mean? You never know they could win, but I'll go 1-1.
Is the orange chocolate a good one or a bad
one?
Yeah,
I think so. I think the toffee one, you've just come out of the dentist, that's not a good one.
That is filling. Yeah. Filling gone, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
That should have a letter on it, a T.
Yeah, should it? Do, yeah.
Hmm. I think Everton will win 2-1. Chelsea, West Ham.
Well, Chelsea won't want West Ham getting in the top four, will they?
Not really.
No, but West Ham are a good team as well. West Ham won them, though. Look, 2-0 down at Norwich, come back 2-2. 2-0 down against Everton, 3-2. They've got to start playing when it's 0-0. Do you know what I mean? And I'm going to go 1-1 here. I don't think West Ham will fear Chelsea like years gone by.
2-1 Chelsea for me. Crystal Palace, Leicester.
Yeah, I'm going to go Crystal Palace here.
Really?
2-1.
They've not won since 1986.
I know, yeah. I think Peter Taylor scored that, though.
He did.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1. I watched Leicester the other day at home, and people go, oh, you know, it's all they got to do. You know, didn't play well, but they still won, and, you know, it's 3 points. If they keep on playing like that to the end of the season, they will not win the league.
Really?
Will not win the league.
And do you think that was just a bad day at the office, or do you think now they're starting to feel the pressure?
Is it a bad day at the office or they've been punching above their weight that much? Do you know what I mean? If they lost three on the trot now, would you be surprised?
I think, given how they haven't done that all season...
That's what I mean. They haven't done that, though, have they? They were a relegation team last year. Mm-hmm. They brought in one player, virtually, mm-hmm. and now they're Premier League champions in the... waiting to happen. Mm. Now...
That was
Leicester.
Yeah.
How they played the other day was what everybody was said Leicester would be like this season. You know, didn't play well, grinded out a big result 1-0, you know, against Newcastle, another team that would have been round the bottom half with them. That's Leicester. So don't be surprised.
I think I'm going to agree with you. Spurs head on again a bit, but I'll go 2-1 Palace. Watford v Stoke.
Stoke have become a bit of an away team now instead of a home team.
Yeah, you said never
don't back against Stoke at home.
And you didn't. You didn't back against them, and they lost for you.
Yeah, I just think away from home, I'm gonna go for Stoke here. Watford really worked hard last week. Mm-hmm. Got a semi-final not long away. The manager's got to start resting players for that. You know, you don't want the two up front getting injured. If they get injured, for me, you wrap them up in cotton wool now. You know, you couldn't.
Did you play them?
No.
Don't play them.
If you wrap them up in cotton wool, you don't play, do you?
Well,
have you ever heard of this football? That's a football saying.
But it's a football saying, isn't it? But it's not actually literally wrapping them in cotton wool, isn't it?
No, not, you know, it's just a saying, isn't it? It's like, don't have cheese before you go to bed. It gives you nightmares.
It's also a saying.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know.
So you would not play them for 1 minute until the semi-final?
Personally, I wouldn't. Depends what they're like in training, if they're fit lads. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to lose your game sharpness. But I would be very careful. I mean, you've got Crystal Palace, an unbelievable opportunity. You know, you're not playing Man United, West Ham or Everton. So, for me, you wrap them up in cotton wool. That means that they just don't play. They don't mean
but
like
Palace
wrap
should
them
do
up
that as well, shouldn't they? Palace need points? Were they 15?
No, I think Palace
have got 33 points.
Palace is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. They've been on a terrible, terrible run, Palace. Yeah. And they need to win. You don't want to be going into the semi-final one win in, like, 10 or 12 games. I mean, that don't give anybody any confidence.
Okay.
You know, they've only beat Reading, do you know what I mean? No disrespect to Reading, but, you know, not a Premier League
Paul
club.
Paul Mason officially saying he hates Reading.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, because he doesn't know what wrap cotton wool means.
I know what it means. Anyway, so you reckon Stoke will do it at Watford?
2-1.
I think Watford will win 2-1, and I think Deeney and Ighalo will both play. West Brom versus Norwich.
I'm going to go West Brom 1-0 here. Yeah.
Pulis will be like in the dressing room. It's an interesting story, that, isn't it?
Unbelievable, isn't it?
$3.5 million.
Yeah, but, you know, he got... That was the deal. He got him promoted. That's it. It don't matter if you leave the day after or what. I mean, still, you know, he's entitled to it. He kept them up. They wouldn't have stayed up if it wasn't for him, in my opinion.
But he'll be disappointed. That's a disappointing day, isn't it? I've not had a day where I've been asked for £3.5 million from anyone, so I don't know how it would feel.
No, true, nor me, but I'm going to put my just being asked for £3.5 million back head back on now.
How do you feel?
Yeah, a bit sick.
Do you want to do it officially?
I didn't have a dinner.
Mr. Merson, thanks for coming. You must pay us £3.5 million.
Well, straight away I'll go and got that.
£3.5 grand?
Oh, £3.5 mil.
Where is it? Yeah, where do you...
But it wasn't £3.5 million, so what's that cost and all that?
£1.5 million cost, wasn't it? £2 million.
Oh, no. Oh, I like Tony as well.
Yeah,
nice
good
man.
Guy,
nice man.
Look, hopefully he's got a good financial advisor and he's just got that, you know, he's got that away somewhere. He's been managing for a long time in the Premier League, you know.
It doesn't matter, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
1-0 West Brom.
Okay. Norwich, desperate, aren't they? Desperate, played...
What do you mean desperate? Desperately not good?
Desperate
or...
for points.
Oh, yeah.
But West Brom had a reasonable run.
Nah, West Brom all right. They just don't lose to them teams around them very often, so... And they can't... They're Achilles heel, they can't score a goal, can they?
No.
So I'm going to go 1-0.
I'll go 2-0 West Brom. Swansea versus Villa.
Swansea 2-0.
Yeah.
It's waiting to happen, isn't it, Villa now?
It is. They'll get one result in the next eight. It could be this one, but...
Will they?
I think they'll get one. Mm. But that they need that game to be worth at least 15 points.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe what's happened. I really can't. 2-0 Swansea. Swansea will be safe.
I'll go 3-0 Swansea. Sunday is a big day, isn't it? Big day of football matches.
Yeah. This is Super Sunday and it's my birthday.
Is it your birthday? Yeah. What are we doing?
Sorry?
What are we doing, I said.
Is that we in we?
Yeah.
Oh,
I might have got the radio, but I can always take a day off if you're having a problem.
No, you stay on the radio.
You crack on.
Stay on the radio, yeah. I'll listen to it in the morning when I get out.
Do you want me to... I'll do a Paul Merson birthday special.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Definitely.
Okay.
48.
48. No 48. Way.
I know.
You can't look a day older.
I know. 46. I know, yeah. 48 and a proper Super Sunday, which is good.
What will you do for your birthday? Do you like, it's my birthday, I can do what I want? Or will there be, like, a lunch arranged with people that you don't really want to be there?
No, I get up in the morning, Kate will do breakfast for me.
OK, what's on the breakfast?
Salmon and scrambled egg.
Oh, OK.
And then my mum and dad are coming over, and my brother, one of my brothers and sisters,
mm-hmm.
and sister, sorry, for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I will get in the pub at 12:30 for Newcastle Sunderland.
Yeah.
Eat at 3:15.
Yeah.
Get that down as quick as possible and then watch Man City, Man United.
At home or back to the pub?
No, in the pub. It's Sunday lunch.
It's all in
nice,
the pub.
Yeah, nice pub.
Oh, that's good.
Local, lovely, excellent. Lovely Sunday.
What's the pub called if people want to come down and wish you a happy birthday?
No.
Newcastle
it's
Sunderland.
A nice, quiet pub.
Newcastle Sunderland.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have said to me, I watched them against Bournemouth, what was that, just under 2 weeks ago, and I would have had anything that Sunderland would beat them
mm-hmm.
on Sunday. But now the managers come in, they looked a completely different outfit the other day.
Against Leicester?
Yeah, looked like they were running and working, and they just had a little bit more about them, and I think it'll be a draw now, 1-1.
Do you know what, Newcastle were unlucky at Sunderland earlier in the season. That was all. They dominated that game for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then was it Colaccini pushed Fletcher over?
Yeah, yeah.
For a penalty and a red card. And it was just a bizarre thing to do. And then Sunderland went and won that.
Yeah.
God, it's such a mess. Do you think whoever loses that goes down?
Or is that, I worry for Newcastle if they lose.
Yeah.
Because the manager is the manager that sets teams up not to lose football matches.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't win this game, he has to set them up to win football matches. If they win this game, they'll go away and nick points here and there, and that'll be enough. If they lose, he's got to change everything about what he's been a manager about, and I don't think that will work.
I think Newcastle will win it 1-0. Southampton-Liverpool.
I'm going to go Southampton 2-1. I think they've done well, Southampton, Liverpool, a lot of football matches.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go them 2-1.
OK. I will go... I'll agree with you on that. Man City, Man United.
Wow.
4:00. Man City fourth, 51 points, 29 games. Man United 47 points from 29 games. So if Man United win this game...
Oh,
they are 1 point behind Manchester City.
Yep, and West Ham will be on their coattails as well.
Mm-hmm.
So a big game for Man City. The last thing they want is Pep to come in and they're not in the Champions League.
There'd be something
and at
funny,
the moment, I don't... At the moment, I don't... I think they win this game. I think because they've got home advantage.
Yeah.
And with the injuries... I know both teams have got injuries, but Man City have got a better squad than Man United. And I just think they win 2-1, but...
And Aguero is such a player.
I wouldn't count your chickens at the moment about these getting in the Premier League.
Really?
Getting in the Champions League. I think there's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah. Poor old Pep.
Oh. I know, yeah. Well, that would just be a waste of a year, wouldn't it? Boring.
And there are no guarantees they're getting it next year. I mean, you'd think they might, but... Yeah, lots of sides will, you know.
But, yeah, definitely. It's the hardest league, yeah. Definitely.
I think Manchester City will nick it as well.
You're just following... 2-0. He's following my scores now. Because you're 2-1 up, you think, right, all I do is follow his scores, draw, and then I'll win 2-1 at the end of the season.
Mate, I'll predict them. I'll do the last game, I'll predict first.
Go on,
right. Spurs-Bournemouth. Talk me through it. Draw my prediction first.
We've done it, haven't we?
No, we haven't done Spurs-Bournemouth. We just did Man City.
Go on.
Spurs-Bournemouth, I'm saying 3-1 Spurs. But nervy, because Bournemouth, you know, they're safe pretty much. They're playing quite good football now, and, you know, every Spurs fan has some pessimism in them.
Yeah.
And before you criticise me, I'm a Cambridge fan, but I like Spurs, so yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll go 3-1. No, I'll go 2-1. I'm with you. I think this is a hard game. Bournemouth playing well. You know, pressure on Tottenham. Bournemouth will keep the ball and frustrate them. But I just think Harry Kane is in the goals. I'm going to go 2-1.
OK. All right, we'll do a Twitter Q&A in a bit.
Yeah.
We'll keep it short because you're worried these things are going on a bit, this podcast, aren't you?
Yeah.
We will just relax for a minute as you listen to a classic 1-11. From the archives of the Fantasy Football Club, this is Newcastle legend Jonas Gutierrez.
With the type of players that I pick, maybe I have to go for a 4-1-5 because there are many offensive players. In goal, I go for Shay Given. When I arrived to Newcastle, I've been with him just 6 months because then he went to Man City, but he was really informed. He make a lot of unbelievable saves. I was impressed by his games, no? So I have to go for him. Right back, I go for Zanetti. Zanetti was a player that I used to see on TV when I was young, playing the World Cups. He's the best right back I ever played. Central back, I go for Colocini, of course. Since I came to Newcastle, he grew up a lot from the first season to now. It's incredible. The help that he makes to the team in defense now is really important for the team, so I pick up him. The other central back has to be Gabriel Heinze. I play with him in the national team, the striker or the midfielder when they have to go against him, they had to take care because he's so tough, too strong, difficult not to pass him. Left back, I pick up Fernando Navarro. I play with him in Mallorca again, you know, like Heinze. When you had to beat him, it's so difficult because he's so tough, he's so strong, and he make you always difficult, no? Then I had to pick up the four midfielders. Right wing, I go with Kun Agüero. I think he's a striker, I know, but my team is offense, you know, so I had to go with the striker in the right wing. I think he's unbelievable, no? Since he came from Argentina in Atletico Madrid, now in City, he starts so well in the Premier League that he make a big impact, no? Since he arrived, so I pick up him. Let's win, Di Maria. Di Maria, another player that is so quick, so skillful. It's difficult to stop him. He make assists, he score. Always hard to play in a team like Real Madrid because you have a lot of lot of players that are coming all the years, and he's still playing and doing really well. Central midfielder, I go with two number 10 that maybe today in football you don't used to see too many number 10, no? A natural number 10. I pick up Riquelme. Since I was young, I like to watch him, the way he play. He did really well in Boca Juniors, Villarreal. So yes, it's different the way he play, no? The pass that the touch that he have to the ball, and the other is Ibagaza, Ariel Ibagaza. I play with him in Mallorca. Another number 10 that he look like he can put the ball or give an assist from everywhere. It's really clever, like Riquelme as well. Two players that for me, I play with them, and you just have to run to the space because you know that the ball is going to come, no? Forward, I go with Tevez. Tevez, a footballer that all the players that he been, the fans love him. He been in Boca Juniors, Corinthians, West Ham, Manchester United, Man City. Now he's in Juventus. He play, he always try his best. He's really powerful with the ball. He score, so he work hard for the team. So I pick up him. The other striker is Lionel Messi. No, what I can say about him? If you see in training or in a game, it's something fantastic. I never play with another player like him. You know, he make all easy. He can beat everywhere in short space, long space. He have his left foot is unbelievable. So yes, that is when I started 11. It's hard to make start just 11, choose 11 players, because I think that I have the lucky to play with top players and enjoy to play with them. So it's tough, but I try to do my best.
That was Jonas Gutierrez and his 1-11. Time now for a 1-11. Time now for a Q&A on Twitter.
Yeah, no.
I can't do two things at once, can I? Why are you laughing? Here we go. You ready, Mass?
Yeah.
Tex Wade, what time is the earliest you feel comfortable having a drink?
And what drink? Like, soft drink?
I think he means an alcoholic drink, but you can answer, but
I don't know. What's the saying? The saying is it's 5 o'clock somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it depends where you are, but if you're away on holiday,
yeah.
I think you can have a glass of wine with lunch.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go earlier than that.
No.
Not before lunchtime.
No, steady on.
Mark Wallace, are you the type of guy that leaves the washing up sponge in the sink so it inevitably ends up covered in feg?
No. And you know my dislike, the kids, the boys will come over, yeah?
Yeah.
And the girls, and they have a cup of tea,
mm-hmm.
and then they just get their tea, mm-hmm. finished, and just pour it in the sink.
And they don't rinse?
Don't rinse the sink or anything, just pour it in the sink.
Yeah. That's the frustration.
Oh, no, I don't like that.
So would you get up behind them and clean it?
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Oh, I don't like that, yeah. Okay. Ben was a student, so I can give Ben the benefit of the doubt.
Because that's what you do as a student.
That's what you do, don't you? Right. Yeah.
I
went to his in Portsmouth once, and I mean, I've never seen washing up stacks like you've seen in your life.
There was one day I went downstairs in our university house, and the only two bits of that weren't dirty, I had to have a salad bowl, like a massive one of Cocoa Pops. So obviously pour it in so it looks like a bowl. So it was like, had the whole packet. And the only thing, I had to have a gravy boat of tea because everything else, and like a bottle of olive oil had broken and there was like a film of oil all over the floor. Annie Headland asks, do you go on Tinder?
No,
me neither.
No.
Would you have enjoyed online dating had you been younger when it arrived?
No. I don't know. It's all sits for course, isn't it?
Mm, you're right. Yeah, but not for me.
Not for me.
No.
But all the best to everybody.
Yeah, good luck for swiping left and right. Paul Goodwin says, what's the best hair product you've ever used?
No, I don't put hair products in there.
No, me neither do I.
No, I don't put gel.
You've got a good head of hair there. You've not got your bad. Digestive
got
biscuit.
Got a little digestive biscuit on the top.
The sort of fryer tuck.
Yeah.
But you'll be all right for a bit.
Not that bad. Not fryer tuck, is it? That's a helicopter pad. No, it's not. It's just a little digestive biscuit at the moment.
It's not even a digestive. No, it's like a Jaffa cake.
Like Jeremy Dodger.
Yeah. Rob Taylor asks, should Defoe or Deeney have been in the England squad above Welbeck, Sturridge or Walcott?
Well, I'll give Roy his... one thing Roy is, and he's very loyal.
He's loyal.
Welbeck's done very well for him, scored big goals in big qualifiers, and he will be loyal to them. But that's what friendlies are for, is to try people. You know, you go to Germany, win 3-0, Deeney gets a hat-trick, and you think, well, I didn't know he was that good.
Mm.
But if we don't pick, how will we know?
Tom says, FA Cup semi-finals at Cardiff, question mark, still a big day out and keeps Wembley as the prize, yes or no?
I've never been to Millennium Stadium. I've never been.
It's good.
I've been near it. I've been to the castle across the road, which I couldn't believe how in the central it is. But yeah, I'm not a great lover of the semi-finals at Wembley. I mean, I played in the first one in 91 there, and it ain't the same. It does take the gloss off it.
Freeze UK says, who should Arsenal bring in? Should Wenger step aside?
That's a million-dollar question. Who do you bring in? Who's around? That is the problem. It is. I don't know.
If you, let's say Wenger said, I'm off today, right now. Sky Sports News is on above us, and it went, breaking news, Arsene Wenger resigns. You've got to pick one man, Merce. Who's it going to be?
See if Man City finish in the top four, and if they don't, see if Pep Guardiola's got a clause in his contract to say that he doesn't have to go there if they don't finish in the top four.
Good idea. Michael Galloway, pizza, Indian or Chinese? Be specific. Let's break it down. What's your favourite first out of those three?
Oh. I'm going to go Indian. Okay. King prawn boona,
yep.
Pillar rice,
yep.
Spinach, 6 poppadoms, large onion salad.
Okay. I'm going 1 poppadom. Don't want any more than that. Otherwise, it's like having a packet of McCoy's before a roast dinner. It's a waste of time.
6.
Onion bhajis, essential.
No.
Then I want to share 2 curries, like a chicken tikka dansak and maybe a veg one, an aloo gobi or something.
No.
I want some naan on the side. Pizza, what are you having?
No, I'm not a great pizza lover.
Okay.
I do like American hot, and that's it, really.
Chinese,
yeah. Start off with chicken yok song, spare ribs,
yeah.
Georgian style.
Mm-hmm.
Then a bit of chicken noodle or yeah. or a Singapore noodle mm-hmm. with a king prawn curry all over it.
Really?
And a big, massive packet of prawn crackers.
I would just have duck, crispy duck, until I was sick. Freddie Lundberg asks, where would you play Messi in the current Watford team?
Just behind Deeney in a gala.
Would you? Yeah, you can't. You can't. You know, you can't play him deeper. You're not dropping Capu or Barami for Messi, are you?
No. Okay. Probably wrap him up in cotton wool for a week.
Ponty Preeth, AFC, say, do you want to play in the Talksport Trophy?
No, thank you.
Okay. Gary Etchell says, what's the closest? That's a trivia question, isn't it, right?
Go on, I can get it.
Closest football ground to the River Mersey?
Oh, I'm going to say Tranmere.
It's Tranmere, it's Prenton Park, exactly. Okay. Probably right on it.
Yeah.
Thomas Bennion says, I loved your Monkey Island reference last week, Max, along with Championship Manager, my favourite childhood computer game. What is Merce's favourite childhood game?
It's the only one I've ever played, Championship Manager.
But what about non-computer favourite game?
Like what?
I don't know, like a board game or you know, when you were young, what did you play?
Probably. I like Trivial Pursuit, Sputio.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't ask that question, Gavin, because it's about something rude. James says, where would Man United finish if the only change they made was to bring in Jose and Zlatan next season?
Oh. Jose and Zlatan. Fifth.
Crispo asks, what is the largest animal you think you could shave with a Bic razor?
Horse.
A whole horse? Yeah. Do you reckon? You've got to have a lot of shaving foam, though. You couldn't do it dry, could you?
We'll go in the sauna.
It's such a beautiful image. What would you be wearing, Merce? Nothing.
I didn't say that, did I? I wear shorts.
A shorted Paul Merson in a sauna, shaving a horse with a Bic razor.
It would be a Gillette. It wouldn't be a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, of course it would. It's Gillette soccer Saturday.
Jamie says, who would make a better cop partnership?
Are you concentrating?
Steven Seagal and Steve Lomas, Mark Wahlberg and Mark Fish, or Liam Neeson and Liam Miller?
I just don't get that question at all. It's a cop, did you say?
A cop, yeah, like Cagney and Lacey.
Oh, say them again.
Seagal and Lomas,
yeah.
Wahlberg and Fish, Neeson and Miller.
First one.
What do you think? I go Wahlberg, I think. Anthony, would the current Barcelona team play just as well without a manager?
No. No, you've got to have a manager.
Where will Leicester... This is Peter Robinson. Where will Leicester finish next season?
Do very, very well, unbelievably well, to finish in the top half.
Paul Aspin says, will there ever be a boy born who can swim faster than a shark?
No.
And Danny Hughes writes, when's Fenner's coming back to fantasy football?
After them 28 questions, hopefully tomorrow morning.
Right, we're going to leave you with Tony Cascarino's 1-11. He is our guest on the show. Amazing stories about Jack Charlton on Ireland, amongst other things. If you'd like to watch it, here's where we're on. Do you want to know when we're on, Merce?
Yeah, go on, mate.
Friday, 6 p.m, Sky Sports 1.
Yeah.
Friday, 10:05 p.m, Sky Sports 1.
Yeah.
Saturday morning, 1:40 a.m. How many viewers will we get, do you reckon, at 2:40 in the morning? I reckon we'll get 11. And, of course, you know when we're on Saturday morning as well?
Oh, are you still warming up?
Yeah, we are the warm-up to Soccer AM.
Oh, you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the dream. Something I always wanted to be when I was growing up, was the warm-up man.
And then Coldplay next. AM.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine next year, we'll be put on at, like, 8 a.m. and we'll be warming up the warm-up. Soccer AM.
That is what your radio station is called, though, isn't it? Your...
I tell you, it's actually called the warm-up. It's specifically not the main event. Anyway, look, I'm still earning a career, Merce, you know? I can't complain, can I? You know?
I was thinking nicking, but if you want to do it, your one.
Stealing a living. Hashtag dry lunch. Anyway, have a lovely weekend. Here's Tony Cascarino's 1-11. I'm Cas for your 1-11.
Yeah, just before Max,
yeah.
99 trophies and 43 league titles in my team.
OK, sorry.
I'm to start with, yeah. Barthez.
So you're okay. Not in it then, Tony?
No, I'm nowhere near it. No. I'm going to put Fabian Barthez. He was an exceptional goalkeeper. He won the World Cup. And to be fair, in some way, I mean, I was at United in 2001 when they, you know, he was voted Player of the Year. I think we forget how well we did for them for a period of time. And he was agility-wise top keeper.
Yeah. What formation are we playing?
I'm playing a 4-4-2.
Good, old school.
Leicester City.
Yeah.
I'm going for a bit of pace, power, and some technically gifted players. And my right back was a good friend of me with the Ireland days. I think probably the most underrated player I ever played with, Dennis Irwin. Absolutely incredible.
And he can play left or right.
Left or right. Free kicks, Dennis, it was a bit unfortunate. He played with Beckham, and Beckham took a lot of the free kicks. He was good at them. Dennis, you didn't want to do finishing with Dennis. He would embarrass the forwards. He was that good either foot, left or right. Oh. And an exceptional player. Great lad, good engine. I think Fergie would openly admit probably one of his greatest signings ever for United because of what he paid for him and what he did for him.
Top player. Mm.
Let's have one centre-back.
Yeah, I'm going to go for everybody has him in his team. And I'm no different. Paul McGrath. Big Paul. Done everything wrong. Off the field. They just did everything wrong, Paul. But was the best player every Saturday. Mm. Every club you played for, you know, from Sheffield United to Villa, whoever he played for, Paul was a physical monster. He lacked one thing in his game, was being a talker. If he'd have been a talker and a leader, I think it's one of the greatest centre-halves that's ever played the game. An absolute machine, Big Paul.
Were there times where in the week he hadn't been training brilliantly or but on a Saturday we thought, well, there's no way he's going to pull out the bag today.
Listen, Paul, God bless him, he's not with us anymore, Jim Walker at Villa. He trained him all week on his own in his gym. And one day I got injured, I got a slight knock and I went in the gym to see Paul train. And he gets on this bike and he's just going, and I'm thinking, is that all you do all week? And he's getting on the bike and Jim's going, come on, a bit faster, big man, come on, Paul, a bit harder. He starts going, oh. And then all of a sudden he gets off the side of his bike and stands by it. And Jim says to him, what are you doing? He said,
I'm on the incline, I always push my bike up hills.
Who's next to Paul?
Someone I played with at Gillingham. Fantastic, Stevie Bruce. Goal-scoring centre-half, who was at Gillingham and probably a bit too long. He was just a... Yeah, that's can't recognise... That's half there. Of Steve Bruce. Yeah, yeah, you know, big...
His dominating. Nose is perfect there yeah. as well, isn't it?
Good player, Steve.
Yeah.
He stayed at Gillingham too long. He really did, because... He was very good on the ball, and he'd get you a goal. He could have been a centre-forward, Steve. He was a good finisher as well. You know, again, going back to Irwin, a defender that could get goals and exceptional in the air, done brilliant at Norwich, and then moved on to, obviously, all the heights of Man United. And, wow.
Should have played for England, should
yeah,
he? Without a doubt.
But probably, arguably, most of the biggest player not to play
yeah,
for England.
Yeah, yeah,
achieved what he did.
Yeah, yeah. So, definitely.
Top player.
Yeah.
And left-back, I'm going to go for someone at Chelsea. Guam Lasso. Now, he was a young lad when I was at Chelsea, and he was a winger, a left winger. And I always felt that Guam had something more in his engine, something more in his locker. He was a good athlete, get up and down that line for fun, wonderful left foot, but he became a left back. And when he became a left back, and then sort of, which I never thought I saw, I didn't see a defender in there.
Mm-hmm.
But once I did, Guam was top notch.
Yeah.
You know, he ended up winning European trophies and playing for some very good teams, Blackburn and Chelsea. And Graham, I think, was one of the left-backs a lot of people ignore with England. You always think of Ashley Cole, Stuart Pearce.
Yeah.
I tell you, Graham was a hell of a left full-back. So he would be my final part of the jigsaw in the back four.
Where are you going, right midfield?
Mr. Whelan.
All right.
Ronnie Whelan. He was... had everything, Ronnie. Everything was one and two touch. Give him the ball, pass the ball, move the ball. And I had a real difficulty because obviously my midfield, but I had people like my good friend Andy Townsend, who was absolutely top-notch as well. I had Liam Brady, as you know, playing for Juventus, Ireland. Yeah. Probably I didn't play enough with Liam and probably not too much with Ronnie, but what I saw was a complete... Just a guy that had the centre court on the squash court. You know, he'd be commanding, just one and two touch all the time. Jimmy Case was a tough lad, and so was Graham Souness. He didn't mind mixing it, Ronnie, as well.
Mm.
He could put his foot in and put himself about, and I thought he was an exceptional player, Ronnie. And I think that, you know, you look at great Liverpool teams, you look at him and you think Ronnie was one of the main reasons why they were so successful.
Yeah, top player.
Who's next?
I think the other one's obvious, Roy Keane. Roy was just an inspirator of players, inspirational in the way he drove people. He'd upset people. He didn't care. But he would lift people around him just by his performance. And Man United would never have won as much as they did without him. You know, when I played... And the way he trained, and he was just always driven, Roy. It was sometimes bordered being over the top. Some sort of was paranoid, and we'd think, he needs to calm down slightly. But I think when I saw him at Forest and then go on to United, and he just drove midfields. You know, he really did. I see him play some great games for Ireland. I can't imagine ever having a team and picking a team and not having Keane in there, because he just was the inspiration around any football club, you know. And he wouldn't mind upsetting whoever to take what was needed to win things.
Top
so
player.
He would be there. My right side of midfield, I had a tricky one because Ray Houghton I played with, and Ray was a really top right sided. They were my two hardest decisions, from Andy Townsend and Ronnie and Ray Houghton. Out the right, but I went for Dennis Wise. Dennis was I think it was ideal for a centre forward. And because I was looking at crossing and, Ray was a player, always want to feed things into you, get the return, always wanting the ball. Dennis would get up, you know, get half a look up and he'd put it into an area. It'd be, you know, dangerous areas. But Dennis was really underrated as well. He was a guy that could mix it, get on the ball. He would look to find you very early. He didn't take many touches to get the ball in then.
Yeah.
And I could appreciate why he did and played so long for Chelsea and had success at Wimbledon as well. The Rat. Me and him had a few... when we
You've said that about a lot of players.
No. When you're part of a group, every time now and again, things get said. Me and Den used to row all the time. We'd have a game of chess in the Chelsea changing room. We'd end up the ball going everywhere, and me and him fighting. And he's 5'5", and I'm 6'3", and he wouldn't back down. He would not back down, Dennis. He would carry on, but a good lad as well, a good lad. So
good
he lad. Was on my right side. And I'm going to go on the left side. You had Graham Sharp on not so long ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Kevin Sheedy.
Yeah, great left.
Of anyone who played with Kevin, his left foot was the best I ever saw. I remember arriving with the Irish team in late, sort of, I played in the sort of 85, and then about 87, 88, Kevin was starting to be the top player at Everton, and watched him train one day, and remember thinking, shooting from 30 yards, it was like a missile, shots just raining in at goal, and Kevin's left foot was phenomenal. I like I said, you had Graham Sharp on, and Graham would never have got what he did. You know, the service for Lineker and Sharp. Kevin's left foot was, like I said, was the best I've ever seen in any footballer. Longest arms as well in the world. He could pick change off the floor without bending his knees, sheets. But he won't. Good lad. Really good lad. We had some great times with him in Ireland as
all
well.
All right. You've got a great team so far. Your strike force.
A young lad when I joined Villa, but I immediately, you know, when you think you're being smart and you think you're clever, you go, this guy's going to go all the way. And it was Dwight. And he was Trinidad and Tobago, and he came over. Every day, he had that smile on his face. It was great to be around Dwight.
Still does now, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Every time you see him, he's always
infectious.
Smiling. Yeah.
You know, you'd see him and Dwight would be smiling, the atmosphere. You'd been beaten 4-0 on Saturday, and Dwight would have a big beaming smile. And but I always think that when I saw him first play, I thought, he'll go all the way in. Because he just loved playing football. You know, we talk about kids and street, being on streetwise and loving playing. He really did. And it was a joy. Remember, he's left Tobago to come and play in England. It'd be snowing, and Dwight would have a big smile on his face. And he loved every minute of it. Yeah. And a very, very good player.
Very
good player. Definitely. And my final one, I wanted to add a bit of pace in my team, a bit of electric pace. So I'm going to go for my old striking partner, Sheringham. Sorry, Ted.
What a player.
Mentioning the pace. I could say so much about the
Teddy. One of my favourite players is.
Yeah, beautiful footballer.
I joined Millwall, and I said to John Doherty when I joined, I said, I really like looking forward to playing alongside Teddy Sheringham when I joined. And I never imagined that what I would play with a guy that talked brilliantly during a game. He's always gave you the ball how you wanted it. He always thought how you would want it. And just think of the partnerships, whether it was Klinsmann, me, Shearer, York Cole, Fergie had the luxury of going, Ted, I can play with any of them. So he was at that type of play. I couldn't associate him with one great partnership. I could say he played in four or five.
Yeah.
Because that
was... Which is unusual,
isn't
it?
Yeah, very unusual in the game. And he had more one-on-ones than I ever did, and I was quite a bit... You know, I was quicker than Ted. Mm. Always got himself on one-on-ones. Mm. And you sort of think, how do you get on one-on-ones? You're not that quick. But his reading of the game was exceptional. Mm. And I think he, you know... He's also a great mate. You know, he's a... A good lad.
He'd get in anyway, wouldn't he? He's top
what
player.
Tony Cascarino's 1-11, everybody.
Brilliant.
Top man.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football FC.
For other podcasts you might enjoy, head to skysports.com/podcast.